Well, we received some direction from the Spirit last month for 2024. And that was this phrase that my husband gave us, that in 2024, I'm increasing more and more. And the reason we are increasing more and more is because he's that big and he's that good. So our increase is determined by how big God is and how good he is to us.
That's right.
And how many know he's really, really big?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's really, really good.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that means that there's a really great amount of increase available.
Yeah.
Because if it's based on his bigness and his goodness, then wow. I mean, there's really no limit to how much a person on this earth can increase if we align ourselves with God's ways of increase and God's design for increase. So that being said, it just seemed good to kind of keep going. I know we ministered some along this line last Sunday morning, but if you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter, 54, I believe. Isaiah 54. You know, the subject of increase, it certainly isn't a foreign subject to us in the body of Christ. I say in the body of Christ, certain portions of the body of Christ.
Right.
The mainstream of the body might, they might look at this idea of increase as really close to that word prosperity, which they try to avoid at all costs. And so in those circles, you might not hear that word increase very often. But since I've been serving God and come into, you know, the knowledge of the truth of the word, I've heard many messages on this subject of increase. And thank God for it, because we need to hear it, because in the natural realm, godly increase certainly isn't the main theme in the natural realm, right? There may be increase that people go after,
sure.
But it's always in the world system, it's a tough road.
Yes.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's very much by the sweat of your brow. It's very much by just corporation wise or whatever, in that type of world. How many have ever watched a lawyer show on TV or something like that, where, you know, they're always backbiting and stabbing each other in the back to try and climb the corporate ladder or gain success. And you have to step on other people and, you know, you have to squash someone else in order to promote yourself in the world. And so there is increase out there, but it's certainly not a godly form of increase, and it's not pretty, right? And so we want to make sure that we understand these things. I said I've heard many, many messages on increase. And sometimes, of course, we'd never think this way, but sometimes as the body of Christ, when different ones hear these messages, they leave going, praise God, he wants us to increase. And so they might sow an extra $20 in the offering. They might, you know, and some ministers have even taken advantage of this idea by saying, if you'll give $1,000 right now, you're going to increase so much in this year. And we've seen that on, you know, years past. Thank God I haven't seen it in a long time, although I don't watch a lot of Christian television, but that was very prevalent back in the day, right? 80s, 90s. You'd hear things like that, and you'd get people thinking, well, if I just give this one amount, and that's all that's required of me, and then God does all the rest. Meaning just I'm going to wake up one morning, and there's going to be $70,000 in my bank account, and I'm not going to know how it got there, but it just happened, and the bank's going to call me and say, we don't know where it came from, but there it is. And they get this idea, right, that, you know, it's just going to happen. It's just going to be there. The only thing is, I said, we've lived this for many decades now, and I've never seen it happen that way. I've never woken up in the morning and found extra money in my account. I mean, maybe like the tax refund got dropped, deposited, and I didn't know it was coming that day, okay? Yeah. That might have happened, but I've never just had random money show up from who knows where.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
For no reason, and the bank just says, well, I guess it's yours.
Right.
Go ahead and keep it.
Right.
So we want to make sure that we have a good understanding of what our part is in this increase with God. Yes, we're supposed to put that phrase in our mouth in 2024. I'm increasing more and more. My husband and I, because we've been saying it so much, that if anything about the year 2024 comes out, we just stop and say the rest of the phrase, even when we're talking about just 2024. But. But we want to make sure that is one of our parts. But we started last week looking in these verses in Isaiah because there's more to it than just a phrase, right? There's more to this idea than just saying it once a week in church.
Right, absolutely.
Praise the Lord. So in Isaiah 54, it says in verse 1, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities.
Yes.
Wow, there's a lot in these verses.
Yes.
And of course, we ministered along these lines last week, so I don't want to just totally repeat what we said, but just to, as a reminder of what we saw in these verses. Number one, increase in God's with God looks a lot different than we might think it looks.
Yeah.
According to God, in verse one, if it doesn't look like there's increase in your life, if it looks more barren than plentiful, the first thing in these verses that we see God asks us to do is sing.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of things you could think about if you want to gain increase in your life, and singing, for me, is not first on the list. Working harder, getting an extra job, selling something that you own in order to get some extra cash.
Yeah.
Those are things that I've done, you know. What else? I mean, start doing an arts and crafts project and try and sell it on Etsy. I don't know. You know, there's like lots of different ways your mind might think I can gain a little extra. But God says, if things look barren, the first thing he wants us to do is sing.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Singing means what? I mean, when you go around singing, people don't normally sing when they're sad, right? Well, some people do, I guess, if they've drowned their sorrows and sing the blues, right? I haven't been around that. But I mean, for the most part, we don't just walk around singing songs to ourselves unless we are feeling good, right? I mean, just naturally speaking, you know, if someone's happy, they might start singing a tune or do a little dance. You know, they might walk around and things like that. Now, we have all trained ourselves to rejoice in the Lord always.
That's right.
So we should always have praise. We should always have thanksgiving. Yeah. We should always have a song in our heart and on our lips. There should always be something moving in our spirit and coming out of our mouth. And I understand we're out in the public, we're at work. There's times where we're not going to be praying in other tongues out loud or something like that. But there's this idea that we're always full of rejoicing and praising. But the thing is, when it looks barren, come on, when you had a full house and then you show up later and it looks like there's still nothing there. Praise the Lord. We have a directive from God. And of course, you understand this is not the only verse. This is just one verse that talks about this. And he says, when it looks barren, when you are longing for a fulfillment of something that just has not come to pass, there is one thing that primarily that he wants us to do first above all else. And that's sing, rejoice, give praise. Sing, cry aloud, break forth into singing, those who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. The children of the one who, in the natural, it looks impossible. Not only, I mean, this says she's barren, but it says the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of who is married. So this was talking about a lady who's not even married yet. So technically, if you're not married, it's very difficult to get pregnant. Now, I know some people out there, you know, they just, you do you, right? They found other ways to go ahead and do that anyway. But technically, especially back when Isaiah was writing, you didn't get pregnant unless you were married. And so, I mean, we're talking about something that is in the natural an impossibility. If we're doing things God's way, right? And waiting until we're married, then to have children, then this is saying that there is a way to supersede what is natural. There is a way to increase and to multiply and to grow beyond natural means or efforts. This is very good news.
Very good news.
It's very good news. So when we're talking about increasing God's way, the first thing we need to realize is that rejoicing is a huge part of this. Singing, staying, we would say this, because rejoicing and singing, these are expressions of faith, right? They're expressions of faith in God's realm, God's word, God's ability, God's grace. And so by faith, we walk around joyful, rejoicing, thanking God for the increase that looks impossible in the natural.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. And so it looks like we're preaching the exact same thing we preached last Sunday, and apparently I need to hear it. So here we are. We're gonna go this direction. So sing, O barren one, you who did not bear, break forth. Break. I mean, the worse it looks, the more we should rejoice, the more we should sing. Glory to God. And you know, some of this might, you know, by faith, we just start singing even when it doesn't feel like, you know, you don't feel like you want to sing. You don't feel like you want to rejoice. But don't just stop with, well, praise the Lord. Because, I mean, that's my direct phrase when my husband comes in and says, you know, this happened or that happened or so-and-so, you know, this is going to cost $6,000. Well, bless the Lord. So I've trained myself to respond with blessing the Lord.
Thank you.
But it's obvious that it's not full of joy, yeah. unspeakable and full of glory,
right?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's, well, bless the Lord. I can't stop there. If I want God's increase,
right.
I can't, I mean, I can't just say, well, I've said the right thing. I need to keep saying things until I am in a flow of rejoicing, in a flow where God has started to mix and mingle into that praise and rejoicing. So it might start with, well, praise the Lord. And then I've got to keep going. Father, thank you. Thank you. You said we're increasing this year. You said.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said it.
That's you right. said that I would increase more and more.
More and more. Yes.
And although I'm looking at what looks like decrease, I'm going to rejoice right now because you're bigger than decrease.
Yes.
You're
yes.
bigger than
That's right.
you're bigger than the trouble or the trial. You're yeah. bigger yeah. than the problem or
yeah.
the test.
Yeah.
You're bigger than this and you're better. Yeah. You're so yeah. much better. You're
yes.
so good.
Amen.
You're so good that there's
Amen.
A way to get past this
yeah.
and increase because of it.
Yes.
That's right.
You've got
Amen.
To start talking to yourself
yeah.
until you're to the point where you're like, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, he's that big. And you start to sing and praise and cry aloud because of his
right.
his bigness,
right.
his
yes.
goodness.
Right.
Yes.
And you got to keep going until you are so convinced
right. yes.
that he's got this.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
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 So when we're talking about increasing in him, we do have an active part. We're not just going to say a phrase on Sunday, go to bed on Wednesday, and wake up Thursday morning and have tens of thousands in the account. No,
right.
with God, everything's a progression. Everything, everything
right.
is incremental, if we could
yes.
say it that way.
Yeah.
There's a part we do, there's a part he does, a part we do, a part he does. And we build and walk together in these things. And we all start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? We all start at a certain level and increase from there.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm reminded of when my husband and I, when we moved to New York to start our first church, we sold our house in Tulsa. And we made, for that time in the 90s, we made a very good profit off of that house. When we moved to New York, one of the things we did know about it, we didn't know anyone except my dad. We moved in with my father. My mom had gone home to be with the Lord, I don't know, many years previous. And he had been by himself for many years. He was more than happy to have us come move in with him. And so we did. It was not comfortable. My dad was not necessarily a firm believer.
Yeah.
He was barely saved. And so he didn't really think what we were doing, starting a church in my hometown, was a good idea.
Yeah.
Not only did he not think it was a good idea, he reminded us that it wasn't a good idea almost every day for the first several months that we were there. And of course, we're living there. And my dad was very generous with us, but we thought, you know, we'll have a good down payment to buy a house in New York. Well, turns out, in order to get a church up and running, we actually rented a storefront, but it wound up taking every bit of our house money to get that refurbished and zoned, you know, done correctly to be zoned appropriately. Bless God for New York, thank God. So it just took more and more money until we finally, and we thought, we really did think we were so, yeah,
We were young. Thank you. We were young. We thought, well, we'll just loan the church this money, and as we get going, it'll just they'll pay us back. Well, it was we were several years into it before we realized we just sowed that money. We sowed that money. And, you know, God's taken care of us in the house department ever since. So
yes.
don't feel sorry for us. But we actually lived with my dad for 3.5 years. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We did it because faith, Dr. Dufresne used to say this, faith will do whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Amen.
Faith will do whatever it takes. You say, well, Pastor Amy, I thought you were talking about increase. I am.
Yes.
I am. I'm talking about increase the way God sees increase.
Yeah.
And it's different than how we would increase in the world. It's different than many of us think. And we have to renew our thinking, our mindset, increase God's way.
That's right.
Increase God's way is following God in every step of your life. That's increase God's way. And sometimes God's increasing you looks in the natural like decrease. Like sow all your money into starting a church and live with your father or father-in-law, in my husband's case, for 3.5 years. Now, here's what I want to talk about, because we're saying this increase is a progression. When we were at my dad's house living there, we would, of course, look at different houses as they would come up on the market and things like that. Now, this is Western New York, outside of Buffalo. Compared to here, I mean, houses were like chump change. It was just like, but to us, with $0, it looked very big. And we, I don't even know how we came across this house back then. You know, they didn't have Redfin and Zillow and all that stuff. So I don't even know how we were finding these houses. But we saw this house, and there must have been an open house or something. We walked through it, and for us at the time, it was amazing. I mean, it had a great kitchen. It had 4 bedrooms. We were living in 2, the 4 of us. It was like everything we could think of. It had a great piece of land. It was amazing. And we were like, oh, wow, this is great. This is perfect for us. But it was like, I don't know. I don't even remember the price. It was like $350,000 or something. We had 0. And those numbers looked massive to us. Now, mind you, we bought our house in Tulsa, Oklahoma for $58,000. And we sold it for like 78. So that's the numbers we had been dealing with, right? Which were big to us. And we're looking at a house that's 300, 350, something like that back then, you know, early 2000s in Buffalo. That was a lot for that area. And so we got the picture of it. You know, we printed it out from whatever, and we took the printouts and the handouts, and we plastered it in our bedroom because we didn't own the whole house, right? So our bedroom was the only place we could put our faith, you know, posters, whatever. And we decided, this is it. This is our house. Woo! We made a song. You know, my husband makes songs about everything. We had a song about that house. I could sing it to you. We described every room in, you know, we talked about Anna's room and Joshua's room and what the furnishings would be. It was all in our song, and we would sing it every day. And we were so excited. Praise God. We were singing, even though we were barren, we were singing. But what we didn't realize was that sometimes God's increase, let me rephrase that, most of the time, God's increase comes in steps.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Meaning you're not going to leave the $58,000 house and go to the $350,000 house in one leap.
Right.
Normally.
Right.
Sure. I'm not saying God can't do that for us. I'm just saying that we have to be willing to increase incrementally.
Yeah.
You might start renting a room and then go to an apartment.
Yep.
and then get to a condo, and then get to a house, small house, right, starter house, and then get to a medium-sized house, and then a bigger house. And I'm just using that as an example because that's the story we're talking about. But what for us, for several, everyone say years?
Years.
For years, we just decided that's it, nothing else. Did we have to stay in my father's house for 3.5 years? Probably not. And it got to the point, I'm not telling you anything that my husband wouldn't say here, so I'm not trying to diss him or anything, but he was so stuck on that house. And I finally realized our grace was up to be in my dad's house like months ago.
Sure.
And if we don't get out, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And because we had so set our heart on a certain thing,
right,
we missed some of the promptings of God to move into the next step for us.
Yeah.
In increments.
That's right.
So I wasn't planning to tell this story, but to me, it's very helpful to know these things, how they work out.
Okay.
So I actually walked into our bedroom, which was also our office, in my dad's house. My husband was at the desk. I mean, we had everything smashed into that room, and it wasn't a big room. And he's sitting there at the desk, and I walked in, and I said, the kids and I are going to move out. I said, you're welcome to come if you'd like. Why? Because it was so big on the inside that we really needed to get out and start moving towards what God had for us.
Right.
But because we had misappropriated our faith, if I could say it that way, we had set our sights big, which isn't bad, but just understand sometimes there's steps in between.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so what happened was he finally realized like, okay, well, if she's leaving, I better leave too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's going to look awkward if I stay with the father. And so our idea was it still looked we wound up renting a duplex. Okay. You know what a duplex is? Two houses under one roof and like a little condo thing. It was nice. It had been redone. It was small, but my kids were small, so it worked. You know, Anna's room was more like a closet, but she was only like three, so or four, I guess. So it worked, and but it was ours, meaning it was our own space.
Yes.
Right. My father wasn't, you know, somebody who wasn't even really walking with God wasn't presiding in the same space. So, so for us, my husband realized, okay, I've obviously not picked up on what she's picked up on because I had just fixed myself on one thing and one thing only, and I'm missing the gentle promptings of the Spirit because he was so, I don't want to say bullheaded because he's never been bullheaded, but you know, he was grabbing like what we thought we had been taught about faith.
Yeah.
But no one ever taught us the steps in between. So I'm going to teach you the steps in between. Praise God. That it's not just from $0 to $70,000 in the bank in 1 week. It just doesn't happen that way. It's putting ourselves to work, walking out God's principles daily. Part of that is sing, O Barren.
Yeah.
Part of that is learning to rejoice in every step and every point that where you're at, not getting frustrated with empty chairs, but rejoicing your way to fullness, rejoicing your way to the increase that God has in store for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And so he had, I mean, we had been so focused on one particular thing that we had lost the ability to hear from God what the next steps were to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I still remember that song. The house was on a street called Ginger Lane. And we never bought that house.
Nope.
We never bought that house. Why did when we walked through that house, why did things go off on the inside of us in our spirit? And we're like, this is it. It was, God was trying to alert us that he had something like this in store for us if we'd stay faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There were bigger things for us, blessings for us, if we'd stay in his path, if we'd stay connected, if we'd not give up. Because I don't know about you, you've been here long enough to know that sometimes it looks like when you're pioneering a church, when you're plowing, when you're doing different things, it looks like it would be easier to shut down than it would be to keep going.
Sure.
And so God doesn't look at, he looks at your heart. And if you're sticking with what he's told you to stick with, then he can increase you despite the numbers around you, despite the lack of money that's in your account. He can increase you if your heart stays stuck to what God's told you to do.
Yes.
And to be.
Yes.
Be a part of.
Yes.
And so it took us a while to realize, okay, there's steps in between.
Yes.
From point A to point B, there's a lot of little micro steps. And sometimes you might have to step over here to get back to here.
Yeah.
It's not always a straight line.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
So we rented a duplex. And it was just so fun to have our own space back. Oh my goodness. It was so refreshing. And we would spend, my kids were little, so they went to bed fairly early, 8:30, something like that. So we would put them to bed, and we went through a season where, well, first of all, we moved in, everything's great. We're singing because we're happy, right? We're singing because we've got our own spot. We no longer have to sing O'Baron. We're just singing because God's good, and he brought us to a place of our own, right?
Yeah.
And we were happy in that duplex. We got into it about 6 months, and the person that lived on the other side of that house, in that house, moved out, and they got a new tenant. Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden, things aren't so happy anymore. There was a 13-year-old girl, 13, 14-year-old gal in there with her single mom, and of course the mom was working all the time, and this gal, I mean, she'd smoke weed, she'd stay home, she'd skip school, she'd smoke or do this, and you could smell it coming through, you know, through the house and stuff like that. And what's crazier was my daughter was four years old, must have been four, and so this is a young teen. My daughter followed her when they were out in the yard. She would follow her all around. She was just, you know, very much enamored with this older gal. And I was like, okay, this is not the role model my daughter needs in her life. And so it became very clear quickly, okay, we can't stay here in this situation. So now what do you do? Well, increments, right? God's increasing. Did we ever give up on Ginger Lane? Not wholeheartedly. Once we moved in the duplex, we were like, well, we're going to get there. I mean, this house sold like three different times while we lived there. And each time he's like, my husband come home, it's on the market. And I'm like, but it's not. But it wasn't.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Spirit hadn't said, now, try to get it. Go for it. And if he doesn't do that,
right,
then that's not the increased step for you right then. It may be for your future. But you've still, in order to increase God's way, we can't do it the way the world does, which is just force it, push on everything else to try and make it happen. We have to follow God every step. I hope this is helping some of us today. So when we got to that point 6 months in, or however, you know, we made it maybe, I don't know how many months. It wasn't very long. And we realized, okay, we can't, something's got to change. Either these people need to move out, or we have another spot for us. And so we would put the kids to bed, and those of you who know my husband very well will be surprised at this, but we actually played Scrabble. My husband does not play games. He does not like games. He's very adamant about not sitting down to play a game. But for some reason, and I mean for a couple months, almost every night, we sat down and played a game of Scrabble. I don't know. I don't even know why. Like, I don't know if we just didn't have the TV or it just didn't, we didn't want to watch TV or start to put stuff. So we played a game and then we would pray in other tongues once the kids got to sleep. And we do that night after night after night. And I don't remember if we prayed first and then played Scrabble or played Scrabble and then prayed. But either way, those two things happened almost every night. And within a couple months' time, my husband and I, we go through seasons. Wow. We go through seasons of time where we'll pray together. We don't always spend every day praying together, but there will be seasons in our life where and that was one of them. And we would pray together every night, probably four or five times a week. I don't remember exactly how often it was. But after that season of prayer, it was maybe 6-8 weeks of us doing that. Some things started to move financially. Like, amazingly.
Yep.
And within the shortest amount of time, you know, when you spent years in situations that you're not all that excited about,
right,
and using your faith, when something changes, it can seem like it happened, like, where did this come from?
Yes.
And so what seemed to us like overnight, we wound up buying a house that was in foreclosure. The bank owned it, and there was all this movement on it. And we just seemed to happen to step into this situation when this cash came in, and we walked into a situation and wound up purchasing a home for about 50% of what it was worth. And paid cash for it.
Praise him.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Hallelujah.
I mean, the whole thing needed to be redone inside. It was a mess. It had been sitting for a long time as a bank foreclosure. But my father was a construction guy. He knew how to fix and do anything. And he was willing to help us do whatever it took, you know, so that we didn't move back in with him.
Yeah.
And so within an extremely short period of time, we wound up moving out of that duplex. You know, our year came up or what have you. We still stayed in that duplex while we were fixing up this new house until we could get it to the point where we could move in. But I mean, amazingly, only by God, right? We were increased amazingly. And it was a beautiful house. It was an old, you know, old house. It was built in 1920s. It was super cute. Was it on Ginger Lane? No, it wasn't that house. But it was a house, right?
Yeah.
And God was in it, and God was on it, and it was perfect for what we needed at the time. And then God led us several years later that it was time to sell that house. None of us wanted to sell that house. We're talking about God's increase. None of us wanted to sell that house. We told the kids, we were all so disappointed. Like, oh my gosh, this is our house. Why would we sell it? Because if God's directing you to do something, there's always increase attached on the other side.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
And so some of you have heard my husband tell the story. He went out and bought, you know, like at Walmart, you can buy for sale signs that, you know, somebody might stick in their car. You know, those little. We didn't hire a real estate agent. All he did was he bought one of those, the tiniest for sale sign he could find. And he tacked it to a little stick of wood and tacked it out in the front yard. We sold it in a week. Now, part of that story is that we lived just a couple doors away from the middle school of that town. And that middle school in the fall, in that big parking area, they would have a huge arts festival. We put the for sale sign out 2 days before the arts festival, where most of Western New York came to our town and walked around. So to be fair, it did get a lot of advertising. But we sold that house in a week. We didn't even know where we were going to go. Because none of us wanted to sell. But very long story short, God wound up showing us our next house. Because actually the people that bought it, that wanted to purchase the house we were in, they said, we said, we don't have a place to live yet. We don't know where we're going. You're going to have to give us some time. And they said, we're in an apartment. We can rent month to month until you're ready. No problem. I mean, how does that happen? Yeah. Right. So they weren't in a super huge hurry. They just wanted our house.
Yeah.
It was a great location for particular. Yes. It was right in the village, the heart. You could walk everywhere. My kids walked to school. But so anyway, they were waiting. God wound up giving us, showing us the next house in the process of time. It took a while before we found it, got to it. And that was way beyond what we could financially afford. Mm-hmm. Actually, we had gone out. We were doing two services at that point. We were doing a Saturday night in the north of Buffalo, and then we were doing our Sunday morning in the south of Buffalo. And that Saturday morning, we went out to look at some other houses. These are bits and pieces of our story. So we went out to look at other houses with a real estate agent that was a friend of ours. And my husband's point was to show that there was nothing out there in our price range that we would like that's any better than the house we lived in. That wasn't going to take much to convince me because the only reason we're selling it is because God said to sell it. So there's got to be something else out there. So we go to look at all these other houses, three, four, five, I don't know how many. They were like, eh, it's a house. Big deal. Not like our house, which had a ton of character. Looks cool. And at the end of all this house looking, my husband said to the real estate agent, what about such and such on that street? He said, I know that's out of our price range, but I think my wife would just like to see it. And he knew it was vacant. Like he could tell from the pictures that they'd already moved out. So it wasn't disturbing anyone to go look at it. He said, yeah, I can make a call. So he made a call. We go to see this house. This house was mind blowing to me. Like every single room was exactly the colors I liked. I mean, you've heard my husband talk about it. You really literally could land a small plane in that kitchen. The kitchen was just beautiful. It had French words faux painted on around the edge. I mean, everything that I would love. It was just everything was appointed so beautifully. And my husband's told me on the way over, you know, this is out of our price range. We're just going to go see it for fun. When I walked into the door of that house, everything in me went silent. I mean, it was so nice. I mean, it was so appointed to my taste. Now, looking back, I mean, it was nowhere near as big as the house we live in now. It was totally different than what we have now. So it wasn't that it was just the biggest thing that ever existed or the nicest house, but it was just appointed to my taste. And it was bigger than what we were living in. We had one bathroom for all four of us, and it was just... Once my son got to middle school, that wasn't working for us. So anyway, we walk through this house, and I'm getting really, really quiet. And that's making my husband really, really nervous. Because it's no longer, oh, wow, this is a really nice house. And walking, no, this was like something about this is sending... resonating, you know, there's bells going, buzzers going off. And I walked out of that house and I looked at my husband and I said, that's not even funny. meaning like, don't take me to something that's so perfect and tell me I can't have it.
Yeah.
Don't dangle a carrot like that and then say, oops, sorry, we're staying where we're at. And so I could see the nervousness in my husband's eyes, like, oh, we just done did a wrong thing by taking her to that house. And so here's the thing. I hope I'm not boring you this morning.
No, it's good.
So we get in the car that we go home. We get ready for church. We get in the car to drive to church because it's about 40 minutes from our house. We're driving up on the highway. We're singing. We're preparing our heart to minister. And the Lord starts dealing with my husband about that house we just saw. And then we get in service, and it was very much like this service. There was just a few of us there. And, you know, it was just my husband and I. We were tag teaming, you know, he'd do the announcements, I'd do the offering, or vice versa. We'd go back and forth like we do here. And he got up to do whatever, make the announcements or take the offering, and instead of doing that, he started to prophesy. He spoke in tongues. He started to prophesy, and he prophesied to me. He's never done that before or since, really. He turned around, and he said, because of your faithfulness, God's going to do this for you. And he laid hands on me, and we knew what we were talking about. And here's the thing. When he said that, the Spirit dropped in him exactly how to do it financially and make it work.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Creative ideas, ways to engineer what the world has out there, ways to make a mortgage or a loan work for you instead of against you, different things that God knows that we don't know.
Yeah.
But as we follow him step by step, his increase, even though it might be incremental and might not look like the big jump you're wanting it to be, when you're following him and being faithful and rejoicing when things look barren and just following him step by step, he will lead you to the increase. We wound up in that house.
Yes.
Wound up being able to purchase that house, and it wasn't difficult. It wasn't hard. It wasn't a burden on our finances. It was amazing.
Yes.
This house that we moved into had the exact same number of bedrooms as Ginger Lane. It had a nice big kitchen like Ginger Lane. It had all the rooms that we had been calling out that Ginger Lane had, but it was 10 times nicer inside. The finishes, the decoration, it was way nicer than Ginger Lane. Glory. So what was Ginger Lane about? It was getting that size, that vision, putting something in us that God had for us in our future. It wasn't that particular thing. And so when we're following God, so much of it is determining what part of this is vision casting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I can see myself in a place like this.
Yes. Yes.
Or we need to determine, or is it supposed to be this? Like this physical location? Like, is it this and nothing else? Because those are two different things.
Yeah.
And we had to learn that, I might say, the hard way or the slow way.
Sure.
The slow way. And it took 3.5 years of being with my dad in order to learn these things. Could we have stepped out into our own location, even though it was a rental? Could we have done that sooner or faster? Probably. Probably.
Sure.
But we've got great testimonies to tell. Great sermon illustrations to share and give. So when we're looking at these things, realize that sometimes he's showing us things. My husband was getting a car worked on at one point. And while he was sitting in the waiting area, he was watching them move in a sports car into the lobby. I don't remember what kind it was. He would. But as they were rolling it in, I don't know if it was a Corvette, Camaro, I don't know, whatever it was, he was looking at it, admiring how pretty it was, and he said, "That's pretty, but I don't need anything like that." Why? We're trying to be humble, right?
Yeah.
That's not part of our call. And the Spirit spoke to him and said, you'll have things like that. So what do you do with that? Well, he's not saying you're going to have that particular thing they just rolled in. He's saying you better keep your spirit man open and stay open to whatever God has for your increase.
That's right.
Because it might look different than you thought it would look.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you close yourself down to something,
that's right.
Then you shut the door. Like we had closed ourselves down to renting somewhere or moving somewhere smaller. We had closed ourselves. It was only one thing and that's it. Well, people will close themselves down to, I don't ever want a sports car because it's not part of my life. You know, well, it's one thing if you don't like it, but how do you know what you like? Have you ever driven one?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I didn't think I'd like riding a motorcycle, but I really do. God added those things to us as we were following him and as we stayed open to him.
Yes.
Yeah. So in 2024, I'm increasing more and more because he's that big. He's that good. And we want to make sure that as we say these things, we are checking our spirit with where's that next level of increase. What's the next step you have for me? Not squashing the ultimate and not only looking at the ultimate. Like if I don't move into that type of house, then there's nothing else in between. Because there may be a step in between.
Yeah, it might be.
And we have to be open because we like what God likes, right?
Yes.
We like what he has for us.
Yes.
And so these steps in between are crucial. They're helpful. They help develop our faith. I mean, we couldn't do what we're doing right now if we hadn't taken those steps in New York.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
We couldn't pay the mortgages we pay now if we hadn't taken those steps in New York started to learn to believe God for $1,000 a month then for $2,000 a month before you get to 5, 6, 7, 8. Lord, help us as we get a new building, whatever that is, right?
Yes.
There are steps to take.
Yes.
And we want to make sure we're following all those steps in order to move with him correctly.
Yes.
So when we say we're increasing, we need to be ready for whatever that looks like. And for us in New York, our increase wasn't from my dad's house to a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house. There was a step over here to a duplex.
Yeah.
And then a step over here to a little a house, but maybe not as big as we thought.
Right.
Then to a bigger house.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, that's just natural. No, when you're following the Spirit, that's God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
That's God.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we've got to be willing to make those steps when
yes.
he's wanting us to make those steps.
Yes.
We've got to be willing to step out with him and walk with him when it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to our head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Well,
we certainly didn't get to anything I thought we would get to today. We didn't even get past the first verse of last week. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But sing, O Baron. Let's just focus on that this week. Let's start rejoicing and thanking God for his increase. And asking him in the beginning of this year, let's ask him, let's get with him this week. I'm going to get with him this week. What's the next step in increase?
Yeah.
Where's my next? It might be a baby step. That's okay if it's led by God, then that's our increase step. Not just the ultimate, but what's our next? You know, it might be just committing to do a certain thing every time we're supposed to do it. You know, whatever it is, in whatever area, we want to make sure we're following him and making sure we're hearing from him and not shutting him down when he brings increase, a next step of increase our way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for today. Thank you for the increase you have for us individually and as a congregation. Lord, you have some great things for us at Faith Church, and I'm so grateful for every step you have for us. Thank you for leading us and guiding us, showing us where we're to land, showing us how we're to bring this thing to pass with your help. Thank you so much that you have so much increase for the body of Christ, for us individually. Thank you for teaching us, leading us, guiding us, helping us to stick with what you have planned.
Yes.
We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.